Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Pony Express.
And I'm coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It is the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Andrew Filippone from CBS Sports Radio affiliate, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, where I host afternoons, 2 to 6 Eastern Time. Here on CBS Sports Radio, Sundays, 10 a.m. to 2 Eastern, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific. SiriusXM channel 206radio.com. You can even tell Alexa to play CBS Sports Radio. All kinds of different ways to listen to us today, and I'm happy that you're out there and following along with the conversation. And maybe I'll say something in the next hour that will make you want to join the conversation at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. We'll monitor Ezekiel Elliott. If that story breaks and we get a new deal from the Cowboys running back, new contract, terms of the contract, years, dollars, guaranteed money, we will pass it along to you. We've got another update at the bottom of the hour, 1:30 time. It'll come your way, 10:30 Pacific. We will give you that update. And it was a tough day for running backs on Saturday with LeSean McCoy getting cut, the biggest name to get the pink slip. And what Melvin Gordon is still trying to do in Los Angeles and what the Chargers are now allowing him to do. But right now I told you about Andrew Luck and how he did something today that I wanted to share with you, get your opinion on. And I can only, you know, I can tell you how I feel and how I would handle things if I were Andrew Luck, which I can only make that point or make that case given the information that is available to us. I don't know every single ache and pain in Andrew Luck's body. Shoot, we don't even know the exact injury that he has. But I want to react to the latest chapter in this Luck retirement saga and get your thoughts on it today at 855-212-4227. This morning, Andrew Luck took out a full-page ad in the Indianapolis Star. And that ad said, "Dear Colt Nation, thank you. Thank you for an incredible 8 years, for welcoming me with open arms, for helping me grow on and off the field, for helping Nicole and me make Indiana our home, and for showing us the true meaning of Hoosier hospitality. It has been the honor of a lifetime to represent the Colts and the city of Indianapolis on the world stage. I can't wait to see our team take the field and continue the journey. I'm proud to be a Midwesterner, a Hoosier, and a Colt." Signed, Andrew Luck. I don't think a week is enough time for a wound of this magnitude, of this size, to heal. This was not a paper cut. This was a laceration. This was bleeding that required a tourniquet. And I don't think a letter one side or the other from Luck's position or from the fans' position, I don't think would pacify or would remedy or would placate or would in some way soothe the situation for either Andrew Luck or the fans. Now, this is pretty typical. Whenever impactful, meaningful players retire, This is something that happens all the time in professional sports. There is some kind of thank you advertisement or letter that usually gets disseminated out. Sometimes it's on Instagram or social media. Andrew Luck, even though he's 29, he kind of acts like he's 50, hence his retirement. And so, of course, he puts his in a newspaper. I know that if I'm Andrew Luck, I would not be ready to do this. You know, my agent might tell me, Andrew, this is what you do when you retire. You thank the fans in a letter afterwards. It's the classy thing to do. It's the noble thing to do. It's the respectful thing to do. It's the right thing to do, on and on and on. If I'm Andrew Luck, there's no way right now I would be ready to say this and mean it. If I'm going to thank somebody, I don't want it to be hollow. I don't want it to be generic. I don't want it to be just empty words on a piece of paper. I want them to mean something. And so it would be very hard for me, if I'm Andrew Luck, that my last experience or interaction with fans is them booing me. My last time on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium are the remaining fans at a third preseason game letting me have it for letting them down. In a week would not be enough time for me, personally, to get over it. I wouldn't be ready to thank those people yet. And if you think Andrew Luck has super thick skin and is Teflon and doesn't let these types of things bother him, all you need to do is either read quotes from his retirement press conference or go back and watch or listen to the way he reacted to a question about Colts fans booing him. If I'm Andrew Luck, I'm thinking, why am I going to thank these ungrateful fans? And I know a few bad eggs don't speak for the entire fan base. In my own house, in my own building, in my own place of work, where I've produced so many memorable moments for these fans, this is the way they send me out. No way am I sending out a thank you note to them a week later. So that's the Andrew Luck side of the story. And this is why I believe an apology does, or a thank you, a goodbye, does not work for either side here. Because conversely, if I'm Colts fans, I'm not ready for this. I'm not emotionally ready for another reminder that Andrew Luck is no longer my team's quarterback. That would be like if you broke up with your fiance and a week later she sends you a bouquet of flowers or a teddy bear or some stupid gift, and there's a letter attached to it that like recounts memories and says, well, it didn't work out between us. We had to go our separate ways, but thank you for the 7 years we had together. We had great times. We did so many fun things. And do you remember that vacation we had? And you know, when we got our first place together, I know it didn't work out, but I just wanted to thank you. You're a great person. I truly am a better person today because I was able to live with you. Like, you're very few people are able to move on that fast. One of my best friends is a Colts fan. He's had to basically, like, unplug from the sports world. Because it's been too, this is, I guess, fanatical behavior, but that's why we're fans. That's why sports radio exists. He still isn't ready to accept. He's still in the denial state. He can't comprehend that Andrew Luck is done. And this, like, you know, movement that's out there that the Colts have obviously done their part to accelerate and get moving, and other analysts and pundits have said the same thing. The case that like Jacoby Brissett is going to step in here and the Colts really aren't losing that much is preposterous. If you get a retirement letter from John Elway in Denver, then he goes out, and after he wins the Super Bowl, he puts out a thank you in the Denver Post. Awesome. Ray Lewis, in the Baltimore newspaper does the same thing. Rob Gronkowski in the Boston Globe puts a thank you out. All right. The Colts, they're not coming off a championship season. Andrew Luck didn't ride off into the sunset. There was no sign, despite what some football media members have said now, where they've like gone back like it's Hansel and Gretel, and they have found like the breadcrumbs in the forest. They're like, oh, this was a clue. This was a sign. Andrew Luck, see, if you add this up and you take this quote, it shows that he was really serious about retirement. We should have listened. Despite all of that second, Monday morning quarterbacking his decision, no one, and I mean no one, last Saturday, a week ago, thought there was any chance Andrew Luck was done playing football. Maybe missing a week or more, because the Colts have been surreptitious and very clandestine when it comes to injuries. They're like an NHL team, lower body injury, upper body injury. You don't really know how badly someone's hurt or injured. The Colts are notorious for that. So is the Luck camp, the shoulder injury that cost him an entire year. So I thought that was fishy and mysterious, and I had a bad feeling about it, but I never thought in my wildest dreams that Luck would step away from football. And so it ambushed Colt fans. It took them completely by surprise. It ruined this season before it even started. And that's why I've said, those fans who were in Lucas Oil Stadium, I understand why they booed. They just got broken up with thanks to an Adam Schefter text. They thought a relationship was going great, and then poof, it was gone. So I don't even really think this is the right move by Luck. If I were him, there is no way I am thanking Colts fans. No way whatsoever. And if I'm a Colt fan, I don't want to hear a thank you from Andrew Luck. Because I'm still upset, I'm still angry, and I'm still not at peace or over the fact that Andrew Luck is no longer a Colt. What are your thoughts? After Andrew Luck got booed, if you were in his shoes, would you be thanking fans? Would you be able to take the high road? And if you're a Colt fan, would you accept that thank you? Yeah, you're right, Andrew. They were 8 awesome years. We won 4 playoff games. We'll always have that. We blew the whistle on Deflategate. We'll always have that memory. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Are these dark days for NFL running backs, or is Ezekiel Elliott going to change all of that in the next hour? Some thoughts on that, but I want to hear from you on the latest with Andrew Luck. A thank you card, a little thank you advertisement in the Indianapolis newspaper today. Could you bring yourself to take the high road and apologize to the same fans who booed you if you're Andrew Luck? And if you're the fans, would you want to hear these kinds of sweet whispers from the Andrew Luck camp thanking you for supporting him? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. I'm Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
All right, we've got a bunch of NFL running back situations to dive into. The Bills couldn't even get like a conditional 7th round pick for LeSean McCoy, a running back with over 11,000 rushing yards. At this point, that's probably seen more as a negative than a positive, the wear and tear. McCoy lands in Kansas City. Melvin Gordon shopping for a trade. Ezekiel Elliott negotiating a new deal with the Cowboys. And we'll get into NFL running backs and the issues they face and the dark days for them financially. not compared to you or I, but compared to their peers in the NFL. That's coming up. Andrew Luck pens a thank you in the Indianapolis Star, the Indy newspaper, thanking fans. If you're Andrew Luck, would you want to thank fans who booed you? Because you no longer want to play football? The pain is too much? If you're Colts fans, do you want to hear an apology from Luck right now? Would you be ready for that after an abrupt retirement? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's go to Indiana. Let's get the local perspective here. Casey's there. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Casey.
Hey, Andrew. How's it going? I got to say, first-time listener, first-time caller from Indiana, born and raised. And I got to say, I think your take is maybe not on point. That Andrew Luck was with, he had pass reading.
Yeah, this isn't going to work because your connection's bad. But I was interested in hearing somebody tell me why I was off base. Jordan's in Tennessee on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I just want to say I completely agree that Andrew Luck, I don't think he owes an apology to anyone or a thank you to the fans, especially after being booed, it just made me really, I'm a Titans fan, so, I don't like the Colts that much anyways, but, it made me hate them a little bit more just because that's kind of low. After especially going from Peyton Manning seamlessly into Andrew Luck, two back-to-back franchise quarterbacks, and, now they're going to pitch a fit like a baby. But anyways, I agree that he shouldn't be thanking fans, and I agree that if I am a fan, I think it is a little too soon. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm still – and thanks, Jordan. I mean, I think it's really easy – when it's not your franchise quarterback, it's not the player who your team depends on, to judge and criticize Colts fans for the way they reacted when you are completely removed, when you actually, as a Titans fan, actually benefit from Andrew Luck's retirement more than anything else. I get why the optics of a player who is retiring for health reasons gets booed when he leaves the field, and how ugly and how despicable, if you don't really have the full context of the situation, how bad that at first blush or first glance looks. The fans in Indianapolis, the Colts fans, were misled and lied to. If there was some transparency that this Luck calf, bone, ankle, whatever it is, that this injury was career threatening and it was going to keep Andrew Luck from playing, and it was going to hold him out of training camp and into the preseason, and it was going to be really hard for him to get back on the field. If that's the way this injury in retirement gets presented, I think even Colts fans would empathize with Andrew Luck and would feel bad, would feel sorry that a potentially Hall of Fame career was getting cut so short. But to say it that way would be fictional. It would be inaccurate. It didn't happen that way. 2 weeks ago, Andrew Luck's on the field before the Colts play the Browns in the preseason. He's going through warmups. And the spin that was put on that was, he looks good, he feels good, he's going to be ready to go in 2 weeks when the Colts go play the Chargers in LA. When Luck first got shut down, the message the Colts gave their fans was, this is minor, this is precautionary. So the fans think that, like, Andrew Luck, when he retires, given the information they have, Colts fans who have been following this day and night because their franchise hopes hinge on Luck, when they find out he's retiring, they're like, I can understand why they would feel in that moment, gut reaction, knee-jerk reaction, he's making a lifestyle decision. He's really not that injured. He's abandoning us. He's letting us down. He's turning his back on us. In that moment, I get why the fans who were still at that game, who are, by the way, the most diehard fans in all of football, if you are staying till the very end of an NFL preseason game, you are a diehard fan. So for that classification of fan to have that kind of reaction does not surprise me in the slightest. Those are not the most level-headed. Those aren't the fans who think about the big picture, meaning like life after football. If you're at the end of a preseason game, all you care about is the Colts winning. That's it. And when Andrew Luck retires, that's going to make it harder for the Colts to win games. So I've stood up for the fans there whose initial reaction there was not to stand up and applaud Andrew Luck. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk about ongoing negotiations between the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott. And where we are in that negotiation, news on that front, and just the state of the running back position, because a couple of things happened yesterday on cutdown day that I think symbolize and explain the downfall of that position in football, in the NFL. That's coming up next.
This is the Pony Express.
Cowboys fans know their team's history inside and out, because that's really where most Cowboys fandom comes from. It's rooted in the past. You're either a byproduct of the Cowboys run in the 1970s, Tom Landry, Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett, Bullet Bob Hayes, Hollywood Henderson. You're either a Cowboys fan because you jumped on the bandwagon during that era, or you're a Cowboys fan because of the triplets era. Back-to-back Super Bowl wins over the Bills, beating the Steelers in the Super Bowl. It's one or the other. And so much of what the Cowboys and their fans appreciate and live by is ancient history. And I just wonder if some of that, maybe I had Jerry Jones all wrong. Maybe I didn't have him pegged right. Because I've said on this show repeatedly throughout the summer that Jerry Jones, when he made the Zeke Who comment, Jerry Jones, who also serves as the de facto GM of the team, he's the kid in a candy store. He bought the NFL team, so he makes all the moves. He lives, I think, he lives a life that we're all kind of envious of. That we had enough, that one of us, you know, a fantasy, if a genie came down and granted me a wish, it would be like, can I have my own team and run it the way I want? And I don't just mean in a business sense. I mean make the kind of trades and moves that I want? Let me run the giraffes. That's what Jerry Jones does. And honestly, like, as somebody that I know, he played college football at Arkansas, but all things considered, he has not been a bad GM. I know they haven't won a Super Bowl since Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer left town, but there are teams that are worse at it who have hired real football people to run their football operations. But I digress. I thought Jerry Jones looked at his roster and the way that the Cowboys played after the Amari Cooper trade last year, getting Jason Witten back, getting Frederick back at center, having maybe the best offensive line in the NFL, having a defense that with Jalen Smith now healthy and Leighton Vander Esch coming on and being able to get a deal done with DeMarcus Lawrence for this year, that he would take stock of his team and be like, you know, we'll be fine at running back. Tony Pollard has played every snap with Dak Prescott in the preseason. Our title hopes don't hinge on Ezekiel Elliott. Too many teams are winning championships without breaking the bank for a running back. The Patriots do it with some combination of James White and Rex Burkhead and Sony Michel. You know, it's not, you could draft a running back in the first round and pay him for the best years of his career, his early 20s, and then get out of the contract, especially if that player has serious baggage like Ezekiel Elliott. And I thought Jerry Jones was smart enough and hip to that. But now these reports, and these are credible ones, both from Dallas, NFL Network, even Adam Schefter now, saying that they believe, those insiders think, something is going to get done this weekend. Today, Labor Day, that something is going to get done between the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott. And if that's true, then I think Jerry Jones is stuck in the past, and I think he's reliving the nightmare of how the Cowboys started. That was back in 95 when Emmitt Smith held out and they couldn't run the ball and Jerry Jones caved, gave him his money. They win the Super Bowl. I feel like he might be confusing what it was like 25 years ago, let's say, compared to today. And that back then when the rules were different, when NFL offenses were less sophisticated, when defenses could get away with more, you know, you needed a running back. You needed a workhorse. You needed somebody like an Emmitt Smith or a Terrell Davis or a Marshall Faulk, you know, somebody that was a legitimate Hall of Fame caliber running back to win. And that's just no longer the case. And the Cowboys fans who are stuck in the past, I wonder now if Jerry Jones is stuck there too. Because the right thing for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys to do right now is to put their foot down on Ezekiel Elliott and say, no, you're under contract, come here and play. And if you don't, we will carry on and we will get by without you. And if Ezekiel Elliott wants to get paid to play football this year, that's how he has to do it. No raise, no guaranteed money, no big extension. Come here and play. We're not cutting you. We agreed on a dollar amount, on a dollar figure. That's what you're going to play for. Running backs have almost no leverage. Of course the Chargers are going to give Melvin Gordon permission to seek a trade. Because they feel like they'll do fine without him. How do I know that? Because Philip Rivers, one of the most underrated comments of the entire offseason, and it speaks to how the Chargers, as this like nomadic team now without a home, that is stuck in Carson, California, in a soccer stadium. Even though the Chargers were a really good team last year, they are so irrelevant that a borderline future Hall of Fame quarterback in Phillip Rivers can say, I like the guys behind Melvin Gordon. That was his first public comment when asked about Melvin Gordon's holdout. I like the guys behind him. And it got completely swept under the rug. Baker Mayfield makes a similar comment, a critical comment, about a third-string running back in Duke Johnson who has since been traded. And it's everywhere. It gets blown up. Duke Johnson is no Melvin Gordon. Baker Mayfield isn't Phillip Rivers. And yet Rivers' comment kind of just went away. Went in one ear and out the other. And I think maybe it's because people agree with Phillip Rivers. Like, maybe it wasn't controversial because it's a statement of fact. The Chargers last year without Melvin Gordon went 4-0 and averaged more points without him than they did with him. Why? Because they put the ball in Phillip Rivers' hands more. They asked their highly paid franchise quarterback to make more plays. And you're better off with that than you are giving it to a good running back. If Melvin Gordon wants $8, $9 million a year, good luck finding that. I think his agent is going to pound his head against a wall for the next few days because I don't know a team stupid enough or dumb enough to give Melvin Gordon what he wants. The Bills couldn't find a trade for LeSean McCoy, which on the surface of things makes sense because LeSean McCoy is the worst kind of running back. He is a highly paid old running back. But the surprising thing was that they could not even find a middle ground there. Like, hey, LeSean, take a pay cut. Maybe we'll keep you and you'll be our starting running back. And if we don't, we'll trade you. At which point, because your contract isn't so burdensome or cumbersome, somebody will probably take it off our hands. And now LeSean McCoy is in Kansas City, which is a great landing spot for him, but he's only making $3 million compared to $9 million. If you are a running back, if you're Saquon Barkley, if you are Miles Sanders in Philly, rookie, David Montgomery in Chicago, rookie, Philip Lindsay coming off a Pro Bowl year in Denver out of nowhere as an undrafted free agent, if you were any of these running backs under the age of like 24 years old, your favorite person right now in the world, the person you are rooting for more than maybe your own team right now, is Jerry Jones. Because you want Jerry Jones to buck the trend and show the world that even though all indicators are that you don't pay a running back, common sense says run him into the ground and then move on to the next guy. If Jerry Jones pays Ezekiel Elliott, well, then maybe the Maras are more likely to pay Saquon Barkley. And maybe Saquon Barkley might think, if I pull a stunt like this, it could actually work. And then conversely, if you're the owners, you hope that Jerry Jones stands his ground and Tony Pollard steps in there and has a good year, which I think he would. I think with or without Ezekiel Elliott, the sooner they get the distraction to go away, the better. The Cowboys, the expectation there, and the only thing that's keeping me from saying this is like the Jason Garrett factor. There's no excuse for the Cowboys to miss the playoffs. Dak Prescott is underrated. Since he's come into the league, the only quarterback to win more games is Tom Brady. Amari Cooper made a huge difference last year, and he should have, because before he got there, the Cowboys' best receivers were Michael Gallup and Cole Beasley. So it's easy to throw stones at Dak Prescott. There are exceptional quarterbacks like Tom Brady or Drew Brees who probably could have made something out of Michael Gallup and Cole Beasley, but there's not many who could do that. And I don't think it's a crying shame that Dak Prescott wasn't able to do that. Once Amari Cooper came to town, they were a totally different offense. Now you're getting an all-pro center back. They should have the best offensive line in football. I don't think they need Ezekiel Elliott to win upwards of 10 games this year. Washington is a hot mess. Their best player, their left tackle, doesn't even want to play for him. Case Keenum is going to start on Sunday. I think the jury's out on Carson Wentz. Can he make it through a full season? And if he can't, is Josh McCown, who is moonlighting as a high school football coach while backing up Wentz, is he going to win? Probably not. History would tell you his teams lose more than they win. And the Giants are caught in this emotional tug of war where I think other teams would have looked at training camp in the preseason where they drafted Daniel Jones and said, "Uncle, enough. The young guy's going to play." Instead, you're going to have this weird situation, kind of like Baltimore last year with Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson, where you are just waiting for Eli Manning to have a game where he throws for like 200 yards, two interceptions to zero touchdowns. The Giants lose by 17 points. And will that be the moment Daniel Jones goes in? The Cowboys should win that division. It is like history says teams never repeat in the NFC East. I would expect the Cowboys to do just that. I said a month ago on the air here that my Super Bowl prediction was Colts-Falcons. I obviously have to revise that now. And so my new Super Bowl prediction is that the Falcons... Man, I want to say Patriots. I want to go back to that. Well, that's what I'll say. We'll have a rematch, Falcons-Patriots. But there is part of me that wants to say Texans because of the Tunsil trade. That is something where when the entire world is down on Bill O'Brien, the GM, where I double back to Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, and Bill O'Brien, the head coach. A coach who, it's easy to take shots at Bill O'Brien right now. And I bet most of Boston and New England is yucking it up. Bill O'Brien has produced winning seasons in four out of his five years in Houston. So I wouldn't completely rule out a big season from them now that they got their offensive line at least somewhat figured out. All right, big thanks to Tom and everybody, Billy and the guys back in New York. On many of these same stations, the great Jody McDonald is next. I'm Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.